Amel LaRue's soft, soulful voice first hit the air back in the mid-90s. As half of the group Groove Theory, the New York native's hit song Tell Me reached the top 10 on urban music charts. Groove Theory won major label success, but Amel felt her creative freedom was suffering. She convinced Epic Records to let her out of her contract. Now she's worked with jazz and rap acts and released two of her own discs. Her latest is titled Lovely Standards. It features Amel singing music by classic composers like Duke Ellington. Amel joined me earlier. While she loves recording, she says her true passion lies outside the studio.
I think that stuff I love the most is when I'm live. And I'm very adventurous, and I feel I do my best stuff. And not even the bigger venues, but when I do small places. I'm always happy when I do the Blue Note in New York. I feel like it's kismet, you know? Like, this is what I was made to be doing. But I always say, if I could, I would just write the songs and perform them and not record them, because I really hate being in the studio.
Wow, that's interesting. I mean, there's a certain chemistry between an audience and a singer. What is it that you get from being live that you might not get from recording?
I think the first thing is not that I don't love the audience, but it's the chemistry between me and the musicians. I'm so excited by all the different variations of the songs, how they could be played, and how each different musician will attack a certain song. And then I end up, of course, it becomes very much less cerebral, and I don't even like remember stuff that's going on, but I do know that I really feel great when I leave the stage.
I'm fascinated by the music industry because I don't have any musical aptitude for singing whatsoever, but I love the sound of the human voice and the sound of instruments. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between being a musician and being in the music industry. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if you've had moments asking to be let out of your contract, mm-hmm. where you didn't like the music industry that much. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that moment when you asked to be let out of your contract, and then tell me what made you want to go back and do a studio album.
Well, that moment had actually occurred over and over in my head years before it happened. Oftentimes at big labels, you know, you get signed by someone, and then they and the whole regime that they're with leaves, and new people come in, and they want to push the artists that they sign. And the artists that are already there kind of get swept under the rug, or shelved, with the industry term. And when I left Groove Theory and Epic kept me, I didn't want to stay. I wanted to leave at that point. But, you know, contractually, I had to stay. And so even from the time I did my first solo album, Infinite Possibilities, I wanted to go. Because I really did feel that if I couldn't be at a place that wanted me the way I wanted to be, that I was really a headstrong artist, that I wasn't wanting to just be an entertainer. And I just think they never saw that in me. And so for the longest time, I wanted to be gone. And when I left, we were always recording and writing stuff for when that time came that we could do it ourselves.
What a day. You went back into the studio, though, and did Standards, even though you say you love songwriting. That's not a contradiction, but it is interesting that you chose to do songs that other people had recorded far in the past. What drew you to the Standards?
One of the reasons why it was so exciting to be on an independent label, because they understood that what I wanted to do was do the Amel LaRue, quote-unquote Amel LaRue albums, and simultaneously do these other albums that were themed, you know, Standards. I'd want to do a deep house album that's still trying to be in the works, and an album of lullabies with my oldest daughter. And I could still do the other stuff that people had known me for.
What a night. Suddenly you came in sight, looking just the way I'd hoped you'd be. I'm so lucky to be me.
You have, among the variety of songs, you have a song that you've heard, the Ella Fitzgerald version of You're My Thrill. There's also a Billie Holiday version. What drew you to that song?
Oh, wow. I mean, Ella, nothing Ella touches is not gold. So, you know, hearing it was like, wow. You know, it's just one of those songs. Plus, it's very sensual and passionate.
I, beneath the moon before.
I really am loving when something gets under your skin without you knowing it. And that's what that song did for me, so.
Of other arms.
There are certain songs that I won't cover by certain artists because I feel that I'm, you know, just not capable of pulling it off. But it's not necessarily because I don't think my voice isn't as good, but I'm afraid that I can't evoke the same emotion. But I think that she's so great that I think there's absolutely no way that anyone's going to compare me to her.
You're my thrill.
Have you performed this set live yet?
No, just one of the songs.
Are you going to do a whole night of the standards?
I've been booking stuff now for, you know, this kind of stuff. And I mean, I've always been able to luckily do, you know, small jazz clubs with the stuff that I've done in the past. But with this stuff, you know, I approached it differently. It's an intimate, quiet feeling. And yeah, I'm so amped. Excited.
Well, Amel, thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Truly, truly a pleasure.
Ask me how do I feel? Ask me now that we're cozy and clinging.
Amel LaRue's latest album, Lovely Standards, hits stores next week. She joined me in our NPR West studios.